like one of my kids come back here. It's nice that this is facing this way now, so you can you can adjust a lot easier.
Yeah.
So there's not too much going on.
My sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome. Welcome to our service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church, Fond du Lac. We are so glad that you are here with us today. Whether you are here in person, whether you are watching us live on Zoom, or whether you watch us several days from now on YouTube, we are glad that you are here. Let's note that today is World Communion Sunday. We will be celebrating the sacrament of communion today. And remember that this is the day we call to mind that this is a universal sacrament, and that we understand that Christians all around the world are united with us in the partaking of this sacrament. And so I encourage you whether you and Jesus are really close or if you haven't spoken in a while, if you look to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we encourage you to join in the sacrament with us. Today is also the peacemaking offering. And I know you have seen the slides going by about that. That is taken up during the regular offering time. So if you have a peacemaking offering that you would like to put in the envelope, just write peacemaking on it. If you're writing a check, write peacemaking. If I believe there is the option, if you're online, to also designate an offering for the peacemaking offering there as well. I hope you saw the table full of cards in the back there. Those are for our college students. Who knew that we had that many college students? My goodness. If you didn't get a chance to sign last week, in fact, I believe there's one or two more there this week, please. When I was in college, I would have loved to have received something like that. Just a card from the folks at home. I'm sure they will appreciate it also. Today, or this week, many opportunities to participate, to grow in faith. Of course, after fellowship today, in the fellowship hall, is the last of our new member classes, but not just for new members, for anybody classes. We have done the Bible, everything you've always wanted to know about church history, and today we do Presbyterianism. Welcome to Presbyterian land. What makes us different from the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Catholics and the Baptists? That's one of the things we're going to be looking at today. Don't forget, PYA, deacons on Monday. Please keep our deacons in prayer when they are meeting. Remember the ministries they do. One of those ministries is preparing for communion on Sunday. The men's breakfast on Wednesday, and I really want to lift that up. That really is a good time. I enjoy going. I do not bring my Bible and I do not preach while we're having the men's breakfast. If you want me to, we can negotiate that. All right, but as a general rule, I do not. It's just an enjoyable time. I know that time doesn't suit everybody, but if it suits you, we hope that you will join us. Confirmation class coming up, the serving team on Thursday, and then two very special things next week. The mission study team, the congregational mission study team, will do their last interactive activity with the congregation. This time, having learned about our community, who we were back when, who we are today, the direction in which we sort of think we should be moving, now we sum it all up and say, what kind of pastor is it going to take to lead us where we want to go? Given who we were, given who we are, given our community, given what is interesting, what we believe God is encouraging us to do, what are the skills, what are the attributes we need in a pastor to lead us in that direction? So that's what we're going to be doing next Sunday. And I really hope that you will be a part of that. And then finally, the Growing Connections is going to be My Feelings Are a Work of Art. Feelings are good. Sometimes we're not comfortable with our feelings, but feelings are normal, feelings are natural. I think this is going to be an interesting time to bring feelings and art together. You do not have to be Picasso to take part in this. Trust me on this. Is that all the announcements? Have I missed anything? Then friends, again, welcome to this joyful time of worshiping God. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds.
Please rise as you are able for the call to worship. To the Lord our God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, be all glory and honor forever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, who has cast in us our self, so that our hearts are restless to our rest in thee, grant unto us purity of heart and strength of purpose, so that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing thy will, and no weakness from doing it. In thy light may we see life clearly, and in thy service find perfect freedom. For my mercy's sake, amen. Our faith may be small, but God's prayer is great. Our sins may loom large, but God's promise of forgiveness is sure. Trusting that God is able to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, let us make our confession. God of grace, we confess that the seed of our faith is small. Hope is often absent. Love is frequently inconvenient. Our sin keeps us from responding to you. Tend to us in mercy, so that we may grow in the ways of faith, hope, and love, after the example of Jesus Christ.
Sisters and brothers, stand firm in your faith, covered by the saving grace of God and ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. And now that we are at peace with God, let us be at peace with one another as well. The peace of Christ be with you. Please take a moment to share God's peace with those around you. And this is a good time to send a text to someone who can't be here today.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Amen.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 37, verses 1 to 9. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindications shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
Thank you, Lou. Our gospel lesson, our New Testament lesson, rather, this morning comes to us from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And before I read it, I just want to share a few things that I think are germane. Some of them may be a little delicate, and I will try and be as circumspect as I can. But nevertheless, I think they are important things to be shared and for us to know. But first of all, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is in Ephesus. Ephesus is what is today Western Turkey. It's a town on the coast. It was a major port in Paul's day. It was situated at the mouth of an important river, so it sat at sort of the congruence of three different trade routes. And so it was very much an international port. Mark Antony and Cleopatra stopped in Ephesus when they were making their way around the Mediterranean. It was also very well known for its shrine to the Greek goddess Artemis, what the Romans would call Diana. She was the goddess of the hunt, among other things. And so Ephesus is a very important city in the Mediterranean world at this time. About halfway through this reading, Paul is going to start in on a list of sins. And this was a familiar device at the time. Even, you know, the pagans who were writing about how to behave yourselves and how to live would include a list of bad things that you should not do. So Paul is falling in the normal way here, but especially he says in verse 10, he says, the sexually immoral. This is not adultery. There's another word for that in Greek. It's a totally fine word. What Paul is getting at here, what the scholars tell me anyway, are, you know, sort of extreme things we would think of as extreme today. Think of child pornography. Think of marital rape. These are the sorts of things that would fall under the sexual immorality. And the other thing he says there is men who engage in illicit sex. In a lot of translations, this word will be translated as homosexuality, which is really a misnomer. I think homosexuality per se is not something that Paul would have been familiar with, that concept. And it's certainly not our understanding of homosexual practice. You know, we think of homosexuality today as two people of the same gender who are equals. They are emotional, mental, social equals, the same way when heterosexual couples marry, we think of them as being equals. And so it would be the same practice for homosexuality. What Paul is condemning here is the practice that was widespread in parts of Greece. And Ephesus, even though it's in Turkey, was a Greek culture. Okay, it would have been culturally Greek. And that was very much a system of dominance, where one was definitely superior to the other. And if you will excuse me, and I'm going to try and be as delicate as I can here, it would have been a not uncommon practice. It would have been a socially acceptable practice for a man my age to take on a middle teen boy, 13 or 14, and teach him about manhood. To teach him, what are things that men are supposed to know? You know, how to hunt, how to change your oil, how to change a tire. You know, what it means to be a man in the culture. But that teenage boy would also be there for the other man's sexual pleasure. Okay? Again, in that culture, in that Greek culture where it was practiced, it was seen as the norm. Other people, including us, and I think rightfully so, said, no, this is about oppression. This, you are taking advantage. A teenager is not emotionally on the same level as a grown man. So you're taking advantage of somebody who is emotionally immature and unable to stand up for themselves. And this is really what Paul is condemning. And I would say rightfully so. But there is much more to this verse than just, to this passage than just that one verse. So listen now for the word of God as it comes to us in this first letter of Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my loyal child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I urge you, as I did when I was on my way to Macedonia, that would be modern Yugoslavia, on my way to Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain people not to teach any different doctrine, and not to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies that promote speculations rather than the divine training that is known by faith. But the aim of such instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it legitimately. This means understanding that the law is laid down not for the innocent, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the godless and sinful, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their father or mother, for murderers, fornicators, sodomites, slave traders, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. My beloved, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And now I would invite the youngest of our disciples to come forward and hear a word from Miss Jennifer, please.
If you want, you can come sit up with me closer, too. That's okay, Fiona. All right. Well, you know, I bring Jesus up with me each time that we come to help us to remember what? What do we remember when Jesus comes up with us? That God is with us wherever we go. God is here in the church, but we remember that God is with us when we go home and when we are playing at the playground and when we're at school or on the park or even at the grocery store, right? We remember that God is with us wherever we go. But, you know, when I say that, we're missing a lot of places. Because there's a lot of places I haven't been, and a lot of places you haven't been. And there are a lot of people I have never met, and a lot of people you have never met. Well, today is World Communion Sunday, and that's a great Sunday for us to remember all of the places all over the world that God is in those places too. Today is the first Sunday of October, is the day in which people celebrate communion all on this same day, all over the world, in many different ways. But, you know, I'm not really sure what it would look like if someone celebrated communion in another place. So I have a little tape, and we're going to watch and see some people in different places celebrating communion. You can see what it looks like. I wonder what it would look like.
Esta é a mesa para a qual Jesus nos convida. Vamos participar com alegria.
Talanta mesha, Cristo te llegó.
Como a Jesus mesa?
Ha enya ne no hendabe.
Nenya mo ilumina.
Vui abe hendive.
Esta es la mesa a la que Jesús nos invita. Participemos de ella con alegría.
So, what was the same about those places? Do you know one of the things I saw that was the same? Did you see that everybody had a smile on their face? Each one of those places, people had a smile on their face. The love of God was there, and people were celebrating the love that God gives to each and every one of us. And that's super important to remember. God's love isn't just for us. God's love is for everyone. And that helps me to remember what it would look like if God's love was everywhere, because sometimes I don't even know what I'm thinking about. The way I love God is actually the way that other people love God as well, and God loves each one of us. Good for us to remember, right? Let's take some time and let's talk to God. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the love that you give to us each and every day. We know that you are with us wherever we go, on the playground, at school, in our homes, when we're at the store or driving. But we forget that you are everywhere. You are with those people that are all over the world. Your love cares for each and every one of us. We ask that you would help us to share the love that you give to us to those people who don't know your love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you, Jennifer. I thought you were going to do a running translation of all those different languages. I'm a little disappointed, I have to say. It's hard for us, I think, sometimes to realize it today when all we have are broken monuments and dusty ruins. But the world that Paul and Timothy lived in was a very vibrant, alive, exciting place to be. You know, the markets, especially the market at Ephesus, would have been crammed with people speaking dozens, perhaps, of different languages and selling food and goods that came from all over the Mediterranean basin, and often from far beyond. It was a very lively, vibrant place to be. And that was especially so if you were interested in religion. If you were at all interested in religion, it was a great time and place to live. You know, there were the state religions, of course, that everybody had to, you know, follow on the certain state-specific days. But other than that, you were very much on your own. You were free to worship as many gods as you liked. And there were a lot of gods. There were, of course, the Greek and the Roman gods that everybody knew of, but there were also specific gods meant for your specific place. Gods that had their home in a specific spot. And there were also new religions coming in all the time. There were mystery cults coming in from Persia. There were fertility cults rising up out of Egypt. So Christianity was just one of any number of religions that were on offer. And this is important because it means that the people who were asking about Christianity probably had no clue. Not many people would have been raised knowing about the faith. And so the people who were asking about Christianity needed to learn the basics. Right? They hadn't been taught very much. They knew something about this person named Jesus or maybe Christ, but other than that, they were very uninformed. And so they needed to be taught the basics. And learning the basics was important because some of those folks, you know, being excited and eager, they would have jumped into this new faith. They would have gone in so eagerly that they went down the rabbit hole. Poor old Alice goes down into the rabbit hole. And that's what some of these people did, right? They got hung up on endless genealogies, who begat who, okay? You know, they got busy looking for the end of times, what's it going to look like, and they tried to parse the law, exactly what is it we're supposed to be doing or not doing. They knew a lot about trivia, but they didn't know much about the basics. And in that way, I suppose, our own time is a lot like the time that Paul and Timothy lived in. And let's face it, we have almost an entire generation now of people who know very little about our faith. You know, they know that there's something special about Christmas and Easter. Maybe they know something about Jesus rising from the dead. But other than that, they really don't know. And it's not like Christianity is the only religion on offer, is it? You know, in America today, we know all about Hinduism and Judaism and Buddhism and Islam. There are all sorts of nature gods and mysticism. You're free to worship no god at all. You're free to make your own religion. One of my young cousins has created a religion for himself that draws from Buddhism and Hinduism. And so people coming to us asking questions, they need to learn the basics. Because just as in Paul and Timothy's day, some of them get so excited that they dive down into the rabbit hole. And they get hung up on those endless genealogies. They plow through the Apocrypha and the intertestamental period. They study, you know, obscure heresies rather than orthodoxy. They listen to the radical preachers on the television and read everything about Gnosticism they can get their hands on, all thinking that this will somehow make them better Christians. They know a lot of trivia, but they don't know much about the faith. And Paul's response to this is that what is needed is not more faith, but solid instruction, sound doctrine, learning the basics. There's plenty of time for trivia. There is plenty of time for who begat and who begat and who begat, right? There's plenty of time to examine the differences between the Gospels. And there's plenty of time to parse the laws and say, you know, which of those laws were relevant to that time, but which of those laws, we've outgrown that situation and those laws are no longer relevant for us. What is needed now so often are the basics. So here they are, okay? I'm going to share with you the basics and write them down, take them home, memorize them, share them with your friends. If somebody asks you, what are the basics of Christian doctrine? Well, this is what you can say. First of all, God loves us. There is this God who created the heavens and the earth and all that is good, and this God loves us unreservedly. Even when we do something horrible, God loves us. God loves us, and Jesus taught us how to live. Jesus, God's Son, came to earth to show us how to live well in this life and in the next. In his life, in his death, in his resurrection, Jesus taught us how to live meaningful, purposeful, powerful lives, both in this life and in the life to come. And we can say that God is with us. This is important. God is always with us and for us. Remember what Lou read in our psalm. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Don't worry about the wicked who will fade away like grass in a summer drought. Concentrate on trusting God. Trust that God is with us. Remember, another part of that psalm, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God. Again, don't fret over arcane laws. Don't get hung up on how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Or what if Jesus was really a space alien from a different galaxy? Which is something one of my parishioners asked me one time. Okay? Let go of that. Live the way Jesus taught us to live. Trust in God. Live the way Jesus taught us to live. Because God loves us. I don't know where you are. Maybe you've sort of wondered what are the basics of Christian doctrine. Maybe you fell into that rabbit hole and have gotten kind of lost. Or perhaps you have a friend who is interested in religion but is confused by all the variations and permutations and possibilities that are out there. If that's the case, then bear this in mind. God loves us. Jesus taught us how to live and live well in this life and the next. And we can trust that God is always with us and for us. Everything else will come with time. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we turn to the time of communion, and this sounds a little odd after denouncing trivia, but I am a fountain of esoteric trivia, and I enjoy sharing it with people, and perhaps it will be meaningful for you. We, as Christians generally, understand that sacraments are purveyors of grace. They are the visible signs of God's invisible grace, of God's invisible love. As Presbyterian Protestants, we recognize two sacraments, the sacrament of baptism, which is the entrance into the faith, and the sacrament of communion, where we are nurtured in the faith. Those of you who are familiar with Roman Catholicism, I believe they celebrate 9 sacraments. The difference, you know, why do we only have 2 and they have 9, is because Protestants generally understand that sacraments are actions that were instituted by Jesus. Jesus in Matthew tells the disciples to go forth and baptize all the earth. Okay. Communion, Jesus institutes the Last Supper with his disciples. They are instituted by Jesus, and they are things that everyone can participate in. And so, you know, our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters will celebrate marriage as a sacrament. Well, not everybody gets married. Or holy orders as a sacrament. Well, not everybody takes holy orders. So these are sacraments that are instituted by Jesus and in which all can participate. And again, by all, I mean that this is not my table, this church's table, or even this denomination's table. This is the Lord's table. And the Lord invites all of us to participate in it. If we could have the prayer up, please. I invite you to join me as we pray together. The Lord be with you. People of God, lift up your hearts. People of God, let us give thanks to the God who sets a table for us. It is our greatest joy to sing our songs of praise to you, gardener of creation. You planted the seed of faith in our ancestors who sought to pass it on to us, but your gifts of love and self-discipline found no resting place in our souls. Your tears washed the streets of the kingdom when we abandoned them to walk the world's lonely paths. We do not remember who protects us, and we rely on those false gods who lead us into despair's captivity. But you will not forget us or leave us orphaned. Hearing us crying in the night, you sent our hope, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we lift our voices with those in every time and in every place who have been brought out of death's exile and who forever live in your joy. God of creation, Lord of all beauty, all creatures join in sharing your love. Holy compassion, joy of our mornings, fill us with grace which comes from above. Holy are you, seeker of our hearts, and blessed is Jesus Christ, promise of life. When he had hung our souls on the branches of loss, he handed them back to us, teaching us the ageless harmonies of grace. When the world left us by the side of the road like rusty automobiles, he came to restore us to newness. Splashing in sin's puddles, he washed our feet and dried them with his love, leading us into the kingdom. Daughters of despair, sons of sadness, orphans of woe, he gathers us all up in his arms of mercy, wiping out death, and sits us down at the family table. Holy Spirit, as we offer the gifts of bread and the cup for your blessing, so we present ourselves, our accomplishments, our failings, our hopes, our realities. Make us weak so we may rely on your strength. As we have heard the word, may we listen for the cries of the poor. As we are family with those sitting beside us, may we love our brothers and sisters in every corner of creation. As you hold out the bread and the cup to us, may we reach out to enemies to clasp hands as friends. God in community, holy in one, all honor and glory are yours now and forever. Amen. My friends, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed into the hands of those who would try to destroy him, he dined with his disciples. And being the host, when the time was right, he took the bread and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, matzil lekamen haaretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, causes bread to rise from the ground. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup and having blessed it, he poured it out and he gave it to his disciples saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which has been shed for you. Drink all of it. My friends, we remember that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of our risen Lord until he comes again. Friends, Christ took the bread and gave it to his disciples. This is the body of Christ, broken for us. In the same way, Christ took the cup to represent his blood shed for us. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you and praise you that once again you have brought us together as members of your great, extended, vast, universal family to share in this sacrament, to be joined this day especially with all our brothers and sisters around the world. And Lord, we raise up to you our siblings in Christ, wherever they may be, whatever their issues or concerns may be, but especially those who live in a place of violence, a place of war. We pray for those who are hungry now and see no relief in sight. We pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Florida and the Carolinas who have been overwhelmed and some have lost their lives in the horror of rain and floods. Gracious God, we lift up our own selves to you for blessing. You know the secrets of our hearts. You know the anxieties we carry. You know the joys that give us hope. Gracious God, we lift up to you those in our own fellowship who need your blessing and peace. We lift up to you those who are lost, trying to find their way. We lift up to you our wonderful congregation, that we may continue to do ministry in your name. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are on our regular email list, you will have received our monthly newsletter, The Focus. It would have come to you in your email. You will find some copies lying out in the narthex as well. And I've written a little article in there about stewardship. Why we should, why it matters, what happens when we do it. And I just want to share with you, there is a story that is told, and maybe it's apocryphal, I don't know, but it's a good story, that knights going on crusade in the Middle Ages would sometimes have themselves baptized, and they would be baptized in a river by full immersion. But when they were baptized, they would go into the water, but they would hold their sword out above the water so that the sword was not baptized. And they could do what they wanted with it. When we are baptized in our totality. All of us is baptized, including our swords and including the money with which God has blessed us. Friends, may we use this gift well as we receive our tithes and our offering and our peacemaking offering. Holy God, we offer to you this offering today, not held out special, but because it is what you have blessed us with. And so, following Jesus' example and command, we share it with others, that they may too know that there is a God who loves us, a God in whom we can trust, and that we can live powerful, meaningful lives, both in this world and the next. Amen. Remember, my friends, many opportunities to praise God this week, fellowship time, something really special for fellowship today. I hope you'll stop by, followed by Presbyterian land. What better way to end a Sunday morning than talking about Presbyterianism, I tell you. But for now, my friends, remember, don't jump down to the rabbit hole. Poor Alice. We all know people who have done that. Perhaps we've done that ourselves. No, we know the three basics, which are God loves us, Jesus taught us how to live, He's with us. Amen. I thought I was going to have to preach that sermon again. Friends, take the basics and even more out into the world and share it with everyone. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord God lift His countenance to you and bring you God's great joy this day and always. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen.
have you blasting because you're just leaving, you know? But I could hear you very clearly.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask around.
Huh. And what else? Oh, is it my designing this week?